this week with the New York Comedy Festival. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. I'm personally impressed. This is the fourth straight episode I'm recording. I like to record the weekend and usually Monday in advance, and my voice has not cracked yet. Can I make it through one more? Let's see. Start with some Twitter jokes. Conan O'Brien said, if you want to avoid seeing your family this Thanksgiving, be sure to book a flight on American or Southwest. Is there a joke there? Are you just mad at them, Conan? Michael Ian Black tweeted, I spent a lot of time saying F Trump and worse over the last 5 years, so it's hard for me to get too upset about the Brandon thing, but at least I didn't think I was being clever when I said it. Did you see President Biden visited the Vatican? He gave Pope Francis a coin, and he parted ways by saying, God love ya. Stephen Colbert said, yeah, he does. Pretty sure that's the papal description on LinkedIn. God love ya. Must be good with crowds. Some Latin required. 5 to 10 years waving experience. Trevor, that is the most unnecessary God love ya in history. You don't need to say God love ya to the Pope. He knows God loves him. He had dinner with him last night. You got to give it to Joe Biden. It took everything in his power not to make the coin appear behind the Pope's ear. But I think the meeting was cool for him to see because it's nice, even though these two men are some of the most powerful leaders in the world. When it comes down to it, there's a couple of old guys hanging out, showing off their coin collection, talking about alcohol, making inappropriate ethnic jokes. Colbert, Biden got a lot of flack from right-wing Catholic bishops for being pro-choice, but during the meeting, the Pope said he should keep receiving communion and called Biden a good Catholic. All right, that's legit. That's a stamp of approval right there. The Pope telling you you're a good Catholic is like a bear telling you you're good at pooping in the woods. Much of Biden's visit was confidential, but parts were broadcast on Vatican television, home of hits like Say Yes to the Vestment, The Prodigal Brothers, and Bob Covet's Abishola. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be surprising that Biden's meeting with the Pope was three times as long as Trump's. I mean, knowing Biden, he puts in a good 40 minutes with the barista when he pops into Starbucks. This week is the New York Comedy Festival. Starts tonight. 200 comedians, including Veer Daz, Tim Dillon, Colin Quinn, Michelle Wolf, Michael Rapaport, Megan Statler, Ronnie Chang, Nick Kroll, Mark Maron, Brian Regan, Gary Goldman, Bill Maher, Michelle Buteau, Andrew Citino, and more. For the first time this year, says Time Out New York, the festival is hosting 2 days of panel discussions, appearances, and conversations about diversity, equality, gender gaps, and inclusion on the comedy scene. Those are called Sponsor Name Presents, Comedy Included. This sponsor is a large bank. They can pay for the mention. Let's do a quick preview here. Time Out spotlighted a bunch of shows. One they picked out, Friday, November 12th at the Apollo. Gary Goldman, born on third base. Gary is a great guy. Got to know him a little bit at Sirius. With 25 years of skin in the comedy game, Gary Goldman has mastered his own brand of hilarity and inspiration. His latest stand-up special for HBO, The Great Depression, is a tour de force. And look at mental illness. He has made 4 hour-long specials. Saturday, Carnegie Hall, Bill Maher, An Evening with Bill Maher. Time Out New York highlights also Saturday, Eric D'Alessandro. Interesting call here. New York native Eric D'Alessandro draws from the deep well that is his big Italian-American family for his raw comedic sketches and uncensored, relatable rhetoric. He started a YouTube channel where he developed his comedic skills from a young age and built a loyal fan base. His recent video, Mask Off Remix Walmart Diss, went viral, gaining over 16 million views. He stored up and down the East Coast. Pretty impressive. How about Crazy Woke Asian? On a mission to provide a platform to up-and-coming established Asian-American comedic talent, create thought-provoking entertainment in the form of stand-up comedy and shows, Crazy Woke Asians features 4 Asian American comedians from LA and Seattle, rounded out by 4 New York comedians. They will be at Caroline's. And if you want to just focus in on tonight, the New York Comedy Festival kicks off. Colin Quinn at the Lucille Lortel Theater at 7 o'clock. He's there all week. I know this because I've done the prep for the podcast this week. David Cross, I'm From the Future, is the name of his show. I love David Cross. He's at Bell House tonight at 7 and 9:30 Eastern. Stand Up for Heroes. Jon Stewart and comedians Bruce Springsteen, Jim Gaffigan, Nate Bargatze, Nikki Glaser, and some others. Always one of the biggest shows at the festival. Ari Shaffir's show is titled Jew. He's at the Stand at 10 p.m. New York Comedy Festival, we'll be talking about it all week. For the last few days, I've been poking at this list from Vulture. It is the comedians you should and will know in 2021. If you didn't listen over the weekend, you've missed the beginning of the list. I did some of the list Saturday, some of the list Sunday, and we'll do a little more of the list now. I'm up to Rachel Sennott. Vulture calls Rachel a defiantly girly comedian and she holds both the defiance and the girliness in careful, almost antagonistic tension with one another. Her material is often about men, masculinity, sex, and dating, but it's with a knowing emphasis on the pressure and expectation of being a woman. She's into sexy grossness, often physically, as in a joke about getting her period while sitting on a man's face. The first punchline of that joke is that sitting on a man's face is the only way he can know how much she actually weighs. We get the idea there. Happy Monday morning. Did you have your coffee yet? Brian Simpson is known by the unfortunate handle of @BSComedian. Vulture says this is hilarious because there couldn't be less BS in his lean, self-assured comedy. Waka Waka, the LA stand-up, has earned a reputation as one of the best joke writers in comedy for his musings on the million small absurdities of American life. An example, drugs get a bad rap because they ruin people's lives or whatever, but so does reality. He's been named a Just for Laughs new face, so that's some serious street cred there. Sam Taggart is a sneaky little devil, says Vulture. A fixture of the Brooklyn scene, Taggart's whole vibe is, if it's okay to say, infectious. Ooh, naughty, Vulture. You can see his influence in a lot of people's comedy and way of speaking. Jess Tom is next up. Part of the pleasure of comedy is taking familiar premises and finding ways to upend them in surprising avenues. For Jess Tom, it's often by staring at the specter of well-trodden comedic territory, such as I Hate My Wife, and by turning all the usual joke geometry on its head. In their recent Just for Laughs showcase, Jess Tom said their main worry about taking testosterone is that they might turn into an unfunny man. All sorts of other assumptions are buried inside that joke. Transphobia, gender dysphoria, harassment, violence. But nope, it's the terror of turning into a hacky white guy, something Tom smirks at with characteristically deadpan delivery. Vulture writes, Robin Tran just wants to be a crappy person. Is that too much to ask? Tran uses comedy to shrug all the representation the industry and society would put on her. Trans, Asian, bipolar, autistic, trans, all these things, but mostly she's sick of being seen as a model example of any of them. After being the first employee to come out as trans at her work, she gave this advice in her hour-long special. Don't ever be the first employee in your company to do anything ever. It's the worst experience of my life. And we'll wrap up the list with Jeff Wright. Late night is a creaky old dinosaur that creaks when it tries to roar. Though there are stylistic flourishes here and there, most late night shows still operate like Steve Allen's Tonight Show. It's why Jeff Wright's work at Late Night with Seth Meyers feels like a revelation. This next sentence has a word I can't get through. I have to hit the speed bump, go slow, and do it phonetically like I'm in third grade. His go-to sketch structure involves anthropomorphizing. Did I get it right? Who cares? You know what I'm trying to say. Companies, institutions, or groups of people playing all the parts, interacting with one another with small but significant variations in characters. The most popular installment of this was when he played all the competing COVID vaccines, capturing the sort of naive interest people had in these pharmaceutical companies and people's attempts to draw conclusions about which was the best option with the littlest information possible. The comedians you should and will know from Vulture. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by anything but Dave Chappelle. There's no Dave Chappelle on the podcast today. Anything but Dave Chappelle sponsors today's Daily Comedy News podcast. People Magazine, Colin Mochrie. He's going all out. As seen in footage obtained by TMZ, the 63-year-old Colin Mochrie appeared to get into a brief scuffle with a fan on the sidewalk. It was a stunt for his upcoming pilot. Colin Mochrie chatted with someone while preparing to autograph a VHS tape until the person reached to touch his head. At that point, the actor grabbed the person's arm and backed away, causing a tussle and using the VHS tape to hit the person. The person eventually ran away before the video ended. However, it was all staged. A rep for Colin Mochrie told People, Colin just happened to be shooting a sketch for an untitled TV pilot when the TMZ cameras caught him. There was no altercation whatsoever. Do we believe this? I do, because I don't think Colin Mochrie was autographing a VHS tape. That's why I think this is indeed a sketch. Nick Offerman says while he once used marijuana for escapism, he no longer wants to because his life is currently happy enough. The Independent had an interview with Nick Offerman. He explained, part of it was due to his wife, Megan Mullally, but the other part is because my life is happy enough that I don't actually want the MJ. That doesn't mean he stopped championing its legalization. And he admitted he still has a stash in his house in case he ever changes his mind. But he does jokingly lament that his decision to stop came at a time when it's been more widely embraced. When I depended on marijuana for escapism, I couldn't get the good stuff. And now that I can afford the most incredible pot, I don't want it. Daniel Sloss claims a show he recorded for Netflix in 2018 has caused 120,000 people to break up with their partner or end their relationship. That is an oddly specific number. In his show called Jigsaw, he highlighted a problem with relationships, and he believes that since then, hundreds of thousands of people have been led to reevaluate their relationships. At last count, he says 120,000 people had ended their relationship. He suspects it's more because they stopped counting. The 31-year-old comic was talking with Conan O'Brien on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend and said, "I think the number's higher than that now. We stopped counting 2 years ago, but still, every show I do, I'll have at least three or four people afterwards being like, 'Hey, I left my partner because of you.' And it's with a smile on their face because they're very happy." So what is the life-changing view he shares with people? Sloss said, "It's essentially, there's this lie I think society breeds us into that being in a relationship is better than being alone. And I disagree with that. I think being in a good relationship is better than being alone, but being alone is infinitely better than being in a bad relationship." And from AM New York, a modest storage room at Bushwick's Tiny Cupboard has been transformed into a psychedelic comedy room. The Mushroom seats only 22 people, making it the tiniest comedy room in New York. One of the organizers said, "It was like a reality show where the people working until the last minute to get it done. We spent less than $100 on the room and sourced everything. I basically furnished the room with my home." Why is it called the Mushroom? It's after a riddle. The riddle is, what's the tiniest room? A mushroom. Waka waka. The producers say it can get expensive to start a comedy career. The Mushroom's open mic fee will stay at $2, unless it's a special night, to help new comedians hone in their craft. A different organizer said, "Stand-up is very clicky. People are competitive. Stand-up's really hard if you're around negative people. It makes it hard to stay with it. We want to cultivate and curate the next batch of comedians and would love for them to look like what no one is expecting. There's no reason all the boats can't rise together." So I'm on Good Pods now. If you want to be my friend, I'm at Johnny Mac. That's a new app. I have no dog in the fight other than I'm trying to promote myself. So I made some lists. One of the lists is called Mentioned on Daily Comedy News. So if I mention a podcast, you'll find it in that playlist. You can see what I'm listening to. I can see what you're listening to. So jump on Good Pods. I'm at Johnny Mac. There is the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Group. Would love for you to post things there. Again, if you're a comedian and you want to promote your shows, go nuts. If you saw a funny video on YouTube or somewhere and you want to share it with everybody else, please do. Again, be cool. Don't overpromote. Definitely no hate speech. Don't be a jerky face, but would love for everybody to interact on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple, Google, Good Pods, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.